early 1700s, when John Leonard Dilbert and David Mishman first heard about the island. They were at church on an ordinary Sunday morning, and the pastor was speaking about a place in the West Indies where there had never been any gospel witness. He told of a man who lived on the island who was an atheist slave owner with about 3,000 slaves, all of whom would live and die there without a chance to ever hear of Jesus. Deeply disturbed by what they heard, these two men, in their early 20s, made the decision to go to this place to reach these slaves with the gospel. Their plan? Sell themselves into slavery so that they could be among these men. Sell themselves into slavery? These guys were not heading on a short-term mission trip. These men left to go and live and suffer as slaves. And they had no idea if they would ever come back. Their families and friends, in large part, were all against their decision, and yet John and David prepared to go. And so the story goes. These two young men arrived at the pier to board the ship, their family and friends all there to say goodbye. They were sure they would never see them again. The men boarded the ship and set out. And as the gap between the shore and the ship widened, the two men linked arms, and one of them raised his hand and shouted across the gap these final words: "May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." Just as these men, may we be willing to count the cost and pay the price and bury our hearts on the mission. Let's go before another one dies.
stop them.
Good morning. Good morning to all of you. I hope you've had a wonderful time in the house of the Lord this morning. We are very thankful to have God's people here with us this morning. Glad to have visitors. We hope that you're blessed to be here this morning. We'd love to get to know you better. Hope to see you more in the near future. And if you are visiting this morning, just to give you a little background of what's going on, all the flags and the music this whole month has been toward the Great Commission. The Great Commission was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, that we should go into all the world and preach the gospel. We've had two missionaries with us already this month, the first two Sundays of the month, and we'll have an international banquet today. So we're hoping that you would stay and be a part of that afterwards. Even if you didn't bring anything, the ladies have prepared enough for you, and we'd love to get the fellowship with you a little bit after church this morning. And then next Sunday morning, we'll have another missionary with us. And the Sunday after that, we'll have a pastor that is overseeing a ministry in the 1040 window, which is a large window of longitude and latitude on the map, where the majority of all the people live in the world, but the less gospel is given in that proportion. So that'd be Brother Sneed and Elvis Sneed on the last Sunday of the month. So I have enjoyed it. Sometimes, to be honest with you, if our hearts or our eyes don't see it, we're not moved. And so that's why the whole month long we have been dealing with mission work. We have another video we want to show you real quick before we get into the Word of God. Now, it's been a blessing to you. Brother Bill, there's no video showing you. Some very strong quotes there. They are, but they are founded upon biblical truths. We will be in Romans chapter number 10 this morning. And it is the truth, especially that one there that said, if a church isn't involved in evangelization, it's living out its final chapter. Eventually what happens is everybody in the church gets old and dies. That's why we have visitation the first and third Thursdays and second, fourth Saturdays of the month, because I don't want Lock Haven to be living out its last chapter. Every breath we take, every minute that passes, every week that goes, and we do not reach out to our community, is one step closer for these doors to close. If you're not understanding what I'm saying is church nowadays is an afterthought. I get there, I'll get there. I don't, I don't. Somebody goes to hell, that's their business. They got a Bible. This is America. We're a country founded in religion. Our founding fathers found our nation on biblical principles. But we're not living out biblical principles today, dear friends. Whatever the founding fathers did, we today are not living Bible principles. Bible principles requires that a man be found faithful. And being faithful is part of being a witness for Christ. Not just when somebody wants to be, but you shall be a witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. Pastor, I work so much, and I just don't have time, and that is my time. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. So thankful that the Lord took out of His time and eternity to come down to our time, to die on the cross of Calvary, that in my time I could be born again, so that in His time I will spend eternity with Him. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. If you just take and read this whole chapter explores the great missionary work that God has laid down for us. For instance, in verse number 1, chapter 10 of the book of Romans, brethren, Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's the whole purpose of mission work. What does missionaries do? A lot of us are not familiar with what missionaries do. That's why we have them come by the church and visit with us and present some slides and show on it. That's why I've been teaching on it on Wednesday nights and trying to present what God does. A lot of denominations don't do this. They just don't. They're not. They do it other ways. They send some money up to a headquarters somewhere, and the headquarters says, well, I like him, I like her, we'll send them out to be a missionary. And the local body of believers who give don't ever even lay eyes upon a missionary. They don't even know who they're praying for or what they're praying for. So no wonder they're not in any concern for world missions, because we don't even make any connection with them. So we have them come by so we can see them and look at them, talk with them. They send us letters. We put them out on the boards. We put them into the bulletins there. Brother Biz has gone around to some of you, and he's asked you to write letters of encouragement so we can get connected with them, so that we can know who they are personally and get to know with them. Well, this is God's plan and purpose, and His will for us as His people is that we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even today, there's verses out of this chapter that many of us use, that when we're sharing the gospel with those around us, we use some of these verses, like verse 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 of this chapter. The Bible says there that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that that call upon him, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when you explore this chapter, beginning in verse 1, Paul has a concern that the nation of Israel should be saved. I would ask you this question. If Paul had a concern for our entire nation, surely you have concern for somebody in your neighborhood. Somebody in your subdivision that you live by and spend time with. Somebody down the road from you. Maybe somebody that you work with. You know, if Paul had compassion for a whole nation whom he had not laid his eyes upon each and every individual, it wasn't like they walked by one day and shook his hand and say, hey, I'm Silas, I'm Timothy, and I'm Mary, and I'm Maria, and it didn't happen like that. It was a burden in his heart that the Holy Ghost of God had put in, that he desired for the entire nation of Israel to come to be saved. Dear friend, I'm just asking you, if you're saved this morning, you're born again, and Jesus died and paid the sin debt for you, and the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, is there not a concern for at least one person that you know that is going to spend eternity in the devil's hell? If so, what are you as an individual doing about it? Oh, preacher, that's the church's job. Preacher, that's your job. Pastor, that is missionary's job. No, the Bible teaches us that it is our job, that if we're born again, we shall be witnesses unto Him. For Him. Now here's the question I have. According to the text verses we read, verses 14 and 15, let's read those again. Here's three questions I find in here. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I find three questions in here, and these questions stress an urgency of the work of God for worldwide missions beginning right outside the doors here. How shall they call? How shall they believe? And how shall they hear? But preacher, we got internet. Pastor, live streaming. Churches live stream all the time. I think the whole purpose of that live streaming is for shut-ins. I don't think it's for good, godly, healthy, well-able-bodied people that can go to work 6 days a week and skip church. Shut-in is for those that can't get up out of the bed and they're paraplegics and they've had strokes and they can't make it to the house of God. I think that was the whole purpose. No, I'm not the sum of all wisdom. But I know that Jesus died and gave himself for the church. He said, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But we do have internet. I got that. Al Gore created it. But I don't see that written in the scripture. How shall they hear? Well, we'll pipe it through some internet lines. How shall they believe? How shall they hear? And the question is answered right there before us. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Now, what does these verses mean to you? What do they mean to me? It would be very easy this morning for me to just stop and just talk about first and third Thursdays, second, fourth Saturdays. Because to be quite honest, church, we're missing the boat on it. We're missing the boat. Something else is more important than souls. Something else is more important in our lives than taking a gospel tract and going to our community and our neighborhoods and being a witness right here in our Jerusalem, because we're not doing it, church. We're not. Yesterday was Brother Ray and myself. Thursday night, Brother Jim, Brother Bill, Brother Ray, Brother Josh. First and third Thursday, second and fourth Saturday. You can't tell me, church, that you're busy every first and third Thursday. Finally got one to come and I left him behind. Brother Watkins, I'm sorry. Brother Watkins had to call. We had already headed out and gone down the road. And I felt so sick to my stomach when Brother Watkins called. And I was sick to my stomach that a man was moved to get involved in world missions and right outside our door. And I didn't have enough faith to wait around for him. That I loaded up the three that normally comes and we headed out there. Well, it's dark on Thursday night, Pastor. It's dark at Walmart. It's dark at Publix. It's dark at Red Lobster. It's dark at Cracker Barrel at 7:30 at night, too. Just saying, folks. I could stay here and harp on that all day long and beat that horse to death, but it ain't going to do you no good because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you and He ain't got you to come yet. He's far greater than I, for greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. So what does missionaries do, Brother Ray? According to this verse, it was read, it said in verse 15, how beautiful are the feet. It talks about some travel. It talks about some getting out. It talks about some moving. It talks about you being moved personally that you take the gospel of peace and you go and you share the gospel with those right across the street from you. So, Pastor, I can't get here on first and third Thursday. I can't get here on first, second, and fourth Saturdays. Can you get across your street yet? It takes travel, dear friend. It takes you getting involved. It takes you being a born-again child of God saying, somebody else is going to spend eternity in hell is important to me. Listen, hell is a real place, church, whether we believe it or not. We can add another building. We can add another paint coat. We can add another pew. We can add another church. But, dear friend, people are dying and going to a devil hell right in front of us. And what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we moving? The Bible said, go ye into all the world to preach the gospel. So I need some kind of... We don't need a calling, dear friend. We have commandments from God. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Mark 16, verse 15. Acts 1 through 8. If you told your child three times to get up and go wash their face, you would be ready to put a board of education to the seat of their learning. If you told your child to get off that phone and get some homework done, those would be commandments. God has told us to be involved in three different places. So you don't need a calling. Well, it's not my calling to be a Sunday school teacher. Oh, I'm going to give you a verse for that too. Titus, older men, teach younger men. Elder ladies, teach younger ladies. It just takes somebody willing to get involved and say, Lord, I see it. I want to do it. I want to be a part of it. So it takes some travel, takes our feet, takes some movement, takes some getting together. Listen, missionary works right outside those doors, over in Africa, down in the Philippines, back over up in Australia, up in Canada, over in the South, the Antarctic, out in Papua New Guinea, wherever you go, over in the subdivision over there at Beacon Park, over here at Lake Nona, down the road in Kissimmee, down in St. Cloud, wherever you go, mission work, dear friend, demands a vision. Our problem is we're not looking through the eyes of God at people. We're looking at what we can do for ourselves at this very moment, what's important to me, when the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen, I've enjoyed the two missionaries we had so far. The church, we have a responsibility right here. And if our church falls up and dies, the 14 missionaries that we send money to will be struggling because we haven't held the ropes. It hadn't been important enough to us to hold the ropes to see people saved. Listen, I thank God that we've gone from 13 people here in our membership since 11 years ago to what we have today. But if you haven't noticed, you're 13 years older than you were when I came here, 11 years older than when I came here 11 years ago. That's our common core math. You haven't gotten younger, have you? That means our membership continually gets older. That means we get further and further down the road, closer and closer to death. It's appointed and a man wants to die. And then the judgments. There's coming a day when we can't. So it requires some travel. How beautiful are the feet. Well, preacher, I just got too much to do. I'm thankful that God didn't have too much to do when He sent Jesus. I know. The other missionaries didn't get at us this hard, did they? They're not the pastor. I'm your pastor. And I see, church, that we are failing in this area. They're coming in here to present a field over in Colombia. They're coming to present a field over somewhere else. They are not even aware of what we're doing as a church, but dear friend, as your pastor, I'm telling you, we're failing in this area. And we have to get busy, or it'll be our final chapter. And I'll tell you, God's been pretty good to us here as a church. He let us go through a deep valley where at one time there were thousands sitting in this here platform, in this auditorium, to where there was 13 members left. And He's worked again. He's opened the door of opportunity. And what are we going to do, church? Are we going to step through? Are we going to be busy with the things of God? Second thing I notice is not only do a missionary travel, it takes somebody opening up their mouth and talking. I am amazed at how we as God's people can talk about anything and everything under the sun. I'm amazed at the amount of people that call themselves God's children that are gossips. I know that has nothing to do with evangelism. It's actually a sin, dear friend. Yes, gossip is a sin. I know you'd rather me talk about homosexuality right now, but gossip is a sin. Why don't you take some of that energy of gossiping and spend it towards evangelization and sharing Jesus? Oh, Lord, brother. Jennifer, how you doing? How'd that Bible study go over there at school the other day? It went well? When's the last time y'all prayed for Dr. Phillips and Brother James? Or was that just last year? Got a teacher over in a public school trying to start a Bible study to let people hear about Jesus. When's the last time you just broken about that? Missionaries talk to people, dear friend. People need the Lord. People talk, listen, I'm talking about real life stuff here, dear friend. Every last one of you, if you open up your phone right now, you've probably got about at least a minimum of 100 contacts. At least a minimum. Surely one of them is dying going to the devil's hell. Can you just text Jesus loves you? You get on that stupid internet, that stupid Facebook, that stupid social media, and you'll fuss and fight about your Second Amendment rights. You'll run AOC out of New York if you could, but you won't take a gospel tract to your neighbor across the street that's going to spill eternity in the ATLL. And every one of you know who AOC is. More concerned about the political drive of our church than the souls that's going to spend eternity in the devil's hell. Something else more important than Missions Month. Been announcing it for 3 months now, and then all of a sudden everybody got somewhere they got to go. What's important to you? My football team did horrible. It's going to be torment and hell. You think that ain't horrible? Doesn't matter how bad Florida State, Miami, or the Gators play, or UFC. Hell is far more horrible than any play your coach could call. Boom. It's about seeing people as God sees them. The Bible said there in verse number 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Shall be saved. So I see that missionaries travel. They've got to move their feet. They've got to move their mouths and tongue about the things of God. And what are they talking about? They're talking about a message that transforms lives. Different, we've got troubles in America. If you hadn't noticed, suicide's up probably 400% than it was in 1980. If they commit suicide without Christ, dear friend, they're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. We're not concerned about those that are mentally being destroyed by Satan. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Divorce is up. It's equal in the house of God than it is, and it's above that which is outside in the lost community. In the house of God, we flip-flop. You know why? Because we don't take concern for the things of God. And let me tell you something. Marriage is important to God. It may not be to this world, but it is important to God. So he brings a message of, what does it say there in verse number 15? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Dear friend, I don't know anything better than to present somebody with the opportunity to gain heaven. There's no greater news in this world than heaven. That's what mission work is about. This is what we do. This is why we go. This is why preachers risk making their congregation mad. I'm telling you, some of you are fired mad, showing you. Eyebrows all like that. Got red running up, and you look like a stump that's changed of not the white, but red. I mean, you're just mad. How dare him preach like this? We want those missionaries back. That's why they come in and go. And that's why men of God grab a hold to a place and say, "God, if this is where you put me, I'll preach even if it makes them mad." Why don't we get mad? This is all Bible. Just get right. If a cat's being rubbed backwards, he loves being rubbed. They curb him. They turn around and let you rub them the right way. Cats don't like being rubbed from the tail up to the head. They like it from the head to the tail. And a cat will turn around. So don't get mad. Just understand that, dear friend, people are dying daily. And they're spending eternity in heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. The gospel message, dear friends, a message for those with troubled hearts. It's a message for those that are living in chaos. It's a message for those that are destroyed by the things of this earth and the care of this world. But our problem is, as God's people, we have a love for this world that is not godly. There should be a love for the people of the world. But our love is for the things of the world. What can I get? How can I get? Where can I go? What can I do? What can I have? What can I put away? I'm going to retire. I'm getting here. I'm going to get there. Pastor, what in the world? You want us to work till we're 82? No, that's the government. I didn't ask you to come over here and retire. The government wants to raise us to retirement age to like 79 here in the future. That way you can get Social Security for 1 year and die off. then they can have another raise. Yeah, that's the congressmen and congresswomen that we voted in. If you voted. Another story, another place. This message I'm talking about, dear friend, is more important than your Social Security check. Yeah, I'm walking on. I know it. I know I got seniors here on Social Security. I do know that. I'm aware of it. But people spending eternity somewhere is more important than your 401. And your second home, your third home, your fifth vacation in a year. Yep. It's going to be a long day, Romans. They want nobody sit by me and eat no fried chicken over there in the fellowship hall. Some of them want to get up and leave now, Brother Ray. Say, never coming back. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God will go with you, and this message is forever settled in heaven. It comes from God's Word, and God says that we as God's people need to be a witness outside the door around this world. And we have to get concerned. We have to get concerned with what we're going to do. Pastor, I don't even know what the gospel is. That's why we're here. 1 Corinthians, very simple. I don't know why we let theologians and those that went to cemetery school drive us away from Bible. Well, you can't really understand the Bible by yourself. The Holy Spirit of God will show you some things in the Word of God that no man could ever, ever show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's the gospel, dear friend. If you're lost this morning, you're going to the devil's hell, would you please let us take the Bible? Sad would it be that we're having missionary month and we've got flags and we've got missionaries traveling in. We're having a banquet and we're preaching on missions, and here somebody sits in the auditorium and they could die this evening and go to the devil's hell. Die right here. Well, preacher, I'm a church member. A church membership isn't the answer, dear friend. Being born again, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received wherein ye stand. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. Nothing added, nothing put to it, nothing taken away. Jesus died for your sins. You trust him, and he will save you to the uttermost. Well, I was baptized. I'm glad you was baptized, dear friend, but if you weren't born again, you just got wet. That's what happened. You just got wet. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's what it just said, isn't it, Brother Ray? According to the Scriptures. Why? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I'm pretty good dude. Yeah, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We ain't talking about being a pretty good dude. We're talking about sin. I'm a good old filly. I ain't talking about being a good old woman, a good old lady, a good old filly. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being born again. For all is sin. Well, my preacher says I can do it this way. You can't go to heaven through no other way but through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The gospel, dear friend, is good news. It's a gift of eternal life. Brings peace for those that don't know Jesus. What a shame. The Bible says there's coming a day there's going to be two in a bed, one taken, one left. Two in a kitchen, one taken, one left. two in the field, one taken, two left. I said, I don't quite understand what you're saying there. Somebody you work with. Somebody you're married to. Somebody that you love. Somebody that you took a crescent wrench and passed through them. A pipe wrench. A pencil. Somebody that's asked for to borrow your calculator at school. If they don't know Jesus, dear friend, and you know Jesus, when He calls us home, you're going to heaven and they're going to hell. There is no other places. I know there's a lot of things that people come up with. To be absent this body without Christ, you're going to be just like the rich man in Luke. In hell, he lifted his eyes. To be absent from this body, just like the beggar man in Luke, whenever he died, the angels carried him to heaven. So what does missionaries do, Pastor? They take the gospel to a lost and dying world. And it starts outside these doors. And it goes all the way around the globe. What are you doing for your part, your responsibility for missions? Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The end is coming. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've heard what I said and you're not quite sure where you'd spend eternity. Well, you may be a religious person. I'm not talking about religion, not by works of vainness or things that we can do that I'm saved, but through His mercy. Perhaps you'd like to know more about this Jesus. Will you come? Let us take the Bible and show you how you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe you're concerned about where you have gone wrong for the care of souls. Won't you come? These altars aren't just for lost people, they're for backslidden people too. What page, Brother Jim?